come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
And we are live from the United Center before the Hawks take on the San Jose Sharks, brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good. And John Weideman joins us. He is the voice of Chicago Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN. And, all right, John, this, we were just talking a little bit before you came on, you know, the season ends next Saturday night, and the season ends next Saturday night, a certain end, and it's the first time in a decade that, we have experienced this as Hawks fans. And
we don't like the feeling.
No, I don't like the feeling. And it must be for you especially. You know, this is the exciting time of the year for hockey fans.
Yeah, this is, we're all unaccustomed to this. I mean, we've become accustomed to at this time of the year talking about who are we going to play in that first round of the playoffs, you know, and getting excited about that. But it just wasn't to be this year. I think there were a lot of factors that conspired against the Blackhawks in this season. I could get into them, but we'd need a whole new show. And so I'll just say that this ending to this season, as hard as it might be for people to believe or maybe even in the notion to embrace, this could be a blessing in disguise. The Blackhawks will get a better draft pick. They've got they've got their first-round draft pick, and they've got Nashville's first-round draft
pick.
Right,
so they get two.
Right. And so their draft position is going to be better. And it's possible Stan Bowman could parlay that into an even better situation. So keep hoping.
I want to be careful how I ask this question, because I know it's a sensitive subject around here, and we've got one more live show here before the season's over.
Okay.
But do you think that there will be blockbuster moves in the offseason here?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, at an all-staff meeting back in February, John McDonough, president and CEO of the Blackhawks, spoke to us, and he said, you know, we're not happy with where we are, but we have a lot of confidence in the people that are in the positions that they're in to, you know, get us out of this situation. I don't think anybody could have predicted that the Blackhawks would be right here where we are at this time in this season. Coming off of a 109-point season last year at 50 wins, I think everybody's thinking, well, you know what, we'll fix a few things, we'll get right back in next year, no problem.
Right.
Well, it just didn't happen, but I could see a few moves. I don't know what they would be, but I don't think you're going to see anything like a house cleaning.
You know how? Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you think largely this roster could bring us to the playoffs next year with very few moves?
I don't know about this exact same roster, but I think with a couple of tweaks here and there, I think that they could get right back in it for
and
sure.
Sakura, are we excited about him?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Dylan Sakura. Played at Northeastern, tremendous player, great passer, great playmaker. He's a stud. I think the Blackhawks fans are really going to like him. He's going to wear number 95, left-handed shot, 6'2", I think 205, Canadian boy. I'm also excited about the guy that's going to make his debut tonight.
Yeah.
His name is Victor, and let's get the pronunciation right.
Boy. These are always hard.
You've got to practice this 100 times at home, don't you?
Help us.
Yeah. Victor Aidsell, not Edsel, like
Aidsell.
Aidsell.
Oh, okay. Kevin.
And I butchered
you.
It.
It's okay, because you know what? Most people would.
Isn't
you
there
look
a J
that,
in there, too, somewhere?
There is a J, but in the
Swedish. Silent J.
He's a Swede, so you know, there's random J's out there.
Actually, I saw some video on him, and heard the play-by-play from the Swedish play-by-play people, and they were saying Aidsell. So there was emphasis Aidsell. On the second syllable of his name. But I'm going to be saying Aidsell until he says to me, that's not right.
Good to know.
Right.
We're going with that.
Yeah.
For Stan and Bowman, go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, on Victor Aidsell, he's going to wear number 14, big kid, 6'5", 215, left-hand shot, very smooth skater. He's got outstanding hands and great vision of the ice. In my show with Joel Quenneville, I told Joel that I felt like he reminded me of Hockey Hall of Famer Jean Béliveau. So if you see any footage of Jean Béliveau, compare the two, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. He's not played 1 second in the NHL, so maybe I'm way premature on that, but I'm hoping for the best.
For Stan Bowman, what should be the top of his to-do list going into the offseason? Another defenseman, center, where do you think they need to prioritize this
offseason? Kevin, you know what? Far be it for me to play general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks. That's Stan's job. If I were trying to give him advice, I would probably say, Stan, we're probably looking at, you know, all the positions to make them stronger, maybe even starting from the goal out. And that's not to throw any stones at anybody. That's not my intent with that statement. But, you know, knowing that all the other teams in the Central Division are getting better, and the Western Conference, the team is going to have to be better. And so possibly they need to take a look from the goal out and entertain the notion of improving every single position.
You know, you bring up the point, I think, that a lot of people, you know, we miss as fans, but that it's an important one, which is, you know, they're not playing against themselves here.
Right.
Right. They're playing against all these other teams. And you've seen a franchise like Nashville become an elite. You know, and they were always in it. I mean, you know, you're going back to 2010. It's one of the great playoff series, I think, in this run with the Blackhawks was the Nashville series. I mean, it's a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they've been developing, but now they are in the elite. That's a real team. And you've got, you know, the West Coast has always been very, very tough. You know, other than you know, Phoenix or Arizona or whatever, whoever, you know, whatever, and who knows if they'll even be around. You got the, you know. It's hard, I think, in the NHL, and you've seen this in the East as well. Dynasties are designed to be attacked using the salary cap and all the other market forces that are at play here.
And all these teams have used the Hawks formula for the past decade. So, you know, they've been the ones watching. The Hawks have been the one leading the way.
Yeah, I believe you mentioned the salary cap role. I'm right there with you. I almost feel like the salary cap was brought in so that teams couldn't be a huge dynasty.
Dynastic, yeah.
And I think Stan Bowman, we were talking about him a while ago, I think he deserves a ton of credit for the fact that the team has won 3 Stanley Cups under his reign, all during the salary cap era. So you have that to go.
Right. I mean, you know, I think you got to look at the two. I hate to say it now, but I have to say it. I got to give props. You know, Pittsburgh and the Hawks are the two, you know, great franchise organizations, as we like to say in hockey, in this era. And, you know, this, I just give me something. Give me something, John. Let's go to church here for just a moment.
Okay.
Give me a little something to hang my hat on to be hopeful about the fall.
Okay, bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah.
My last confession was 3 years ago. And you mean looking forward, looking ahead, what do Blackhawk fans have to hang their hat on?
Yeah, because you were saying, you know, there's a little bit of a blessing in disguise. Obviously, you're talking about the draft there.
Yeah.
But are there other factors here that you think that are important?
I mentioned the draft. I will also mention the possibility, and I think probability. This far out, here we are in March. Who's to say July 1st? That I'm going to be right. I may look like the biggest buffoon in the history of mankind.
I do that all the time. Don't worry about it.
But I believe that it's very possible and maybe even probable that the Blackhawks could be a player in free agency. The salary cap is going up to $82 million. They were trying to get it between 78 and 82, and I think 82 was where they ended up at the general manager's meetings. What that does is that adds money to the pile that the Blackhawks can spend, and they've had no issue spending to the cap. So knowing that, and knowing that there are going to be some players that are not going to be back next season, so you erase that salary and you add that to the pile of money that they'll have to work with, I really truly believe the Blackhawks could be a legitimate player for some of the best players that are out there that are unrestricted free agents and be wearing a Blackhawks sweater to start next year.
That is exciting.
I have a few names on the list, but like you, I don't want to get in the way of Stan. I'm afraid of Stan Bowman, let me be honest with you.
You know what?
Stan's
a wonderful guy. He really is. And he's a brilliant guy, in my opinion.
Yes.
He's had some tough situations to deal with, but I think, you know, by and large, he's done a very good job of it.
Oh, here's what I'll say about Stan. And I've, you know, had the great pleasure of getting to know him over the last number of years pretty well. And he's a lovely guy, soft-spoken.
Sure.
But I think in an alley fight, he'd kill a guy and maybe rip his arm off.
He's
got an intensity to him, I wouldn't want to be. I think this is going to be, you know, an interesting moment. This is such a great, you know, sports tradition in Chicago for, you know, a century almost. But it's also, you know, this moment, and you still see as the fans are filling in here, and this kind of the, you know, the shirt tail of the season, it is, you know, people are still, they're wearing their sweaters, they're happy about this.
As engaged as ever.
They want to go see, you know, this, you know, they want to go see the flash of hockey live and all that. And it's, you know, I know it will be back, and I think with Stan especially, the praise you gave him is 100% right. I don't think you can go far enough in terms of what he's been able to do given these circumstances. One of the interesting things, though, in salary caps in hockey is that it's pegged to the Canadian dollar.
Right.
And it is, and this is an issue because
they have to definitely be sensitive to the Canadian-based organizations. Absolutely,
right, for sure. And being pegged to the Canadian dollar, things can move between and July.
Is it strong right now, the Canadian dollar? Do we know?
It's better than it was, but it's but if it gets stronger,
right,
that becomes an interesting issue for the other North American teams. Let's put it that way, and Canada too. Who do you like in the playoffs right now?
My Stanley Cup final is going to be the Nashville Predators against the Boston Bruins.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Not the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
See, everybody has been saying, "Oh, Tampa Bay, they're going right to the final." Tampa Bay is a strong team, but look what the Boston Bruins have been doing, and the fact that that's a tested team. That's a team full of veteran players. They've got depth in goaltending. They've got depth at the defense position, which is enormous in the playoffs. And they've got great veteran leadership. And Brad Marchand, as much as you may not like him, is having the year of his life. On top of that, they've got one of the best face-off guys, a multiple Frank Selke Trophy winner in Patrice Bergeron. I think in a seven-game series, I think Boston prevails. And it's going to be Boston and Nashville. That's who I believe.
All right. As much as I want to hate Nashville.
Right.
I gotta say that I'm sort of, because they've become such a critical rival for us. Mm-hmm. I still can't get over the loss of Detroit. I still can't get over the fact that we don't have that to hang on. Or the Blues, that rivalry has faded a little bit in the last three seasons, obviously. But that Nashville rivalry is so great. They have done such a nice job down there.
They really have.
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the Hawks to have a new target and to say, this is going to be, and it's also too much fun to go down there for a game, right? Isn't that a great place to go be? And so I hate to say it, but it's like saying I want Green Bay to win the Super Bowl, but I'm just going to say it right now. I like Nashville in this playoffs.
Don't say it.
I love the way they're skating right now. So, John, thank you so much for being with us. What another great season.
You're welcome, Roel. Thank you for having me.
In the broadcast booth. And the best, the best that lives in radio hockey right here, John Weideman. Thank you so much.
One last thing I'd like to say, Roel, if I can, before I leave. We have the good fortune, Troy Murray and I, and now Chris Bowden, and all of you, doing our work in front of the greatest fans in hockey. And I say that every single night after I sign off from a home game, and I say it with conviction. I mean it. They're the best in the world. Best in the game.
Yeah. Oh, and we should also mention, too, I think we should point out that if people haven't heard the news, because this broke late on Friday night over the weekend, is our dear friend and colleague Eddie Olczyk is cancer-free.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hadn't heard that.
And
best news of the year.
Yeah, by far. If there were any other, you'd trade anything for that news.
Yeah.
What an inspiration he is, too.
And he is an inspiration to people, cancer survivors and to, others. So congratulations and, our heartfelt warm wishes to he and his family who endured so much this year.
Great
here.